Najee Van Wyken, president of Weatherby Cranberry Company, warns.
All right, and we are out here, and you have taken me on a really lovely tour of your farm out here. And I would like to start off with you telling us a little bit about the, just cranberry farming. As you know, our listeners are in California, and I'm from California. And as you pointed out, that's one of the things that we just don't grow. So tell us a little bit about growing cranberries.
Okay. Well, it's a very unique part of agriculture, but it's a very important part of agriculture in the state of Wisconsin. And Wisconsin leads the nation in production of cranberries for the past 20 years, and we actually produce over 60% of the world's supply of cranberries in the state of Wisconsin. And cranberry is a perennial plant, so when you plant vines in the spring of the year, it'll take 2 to 3 years for them to be in partial production and 4 to 5 years in full production, and then as long as you maintain them, they'll produce for 25 to 30 years. And so you have to be a visionary when you start. It's not like you plant in the spring and harvest in the fall. Mm-hmm. There are 250 growers in the state of Wisconsin, and we have unique equipment to harvest them and to apply fertilizer and insecticides and all this. And much of that equipment is made by growers themselves, or at least they're designed by growers, and then small local machine companies will make the equipment for us. So we're unique in that fashion as well. And it requires a lot of management as far as water is concerned. They do not grow in water year-round, as some people think. They like to have moist soil conditions, but they don't like to have wet feet either. So there is a lot of control over water. We irrigate in the summer months through our irrigation system to keep them moist. And the only time you see water on them is just prior to harvest. And then we have machinery that will go in the bed and loosen the fruit up, and they float to the surface of the water. And the reason they do this, if you cut a cranberry in two, it has four little air pockets inside. And that's what causes the buoyancy of the fruit to float on top of the water. Then we gather and collect them, and they're taken to larger receiving stations where they're sorted and stored and frozen for various products. And we on our marsh also do fresh fruit, which is a little different method of harvest. And we have raking machines with tines in front that actually scoop the berries up off the vines, and they're put into small boats and taken to a warehouse where they are dried and sorted and packed for further distribution.
And you do all of that on site here too?
We do everything like that on site for our fresh fruit. For our processed fruit, they're loaded into huge semi-trailers and taken to area receiving stations.
So it is currently the blossoming season, and I got some nice pictures that we'll put up on our website, agnetwest.com, for people to be able to see. Tell me how important pollinators are for your operation.
Yes, cranberries really utilize honeybees and native bumblebees in the area. They can be pollinated by gentle wind, but if you have the use of honeybees, that's much more productive for pollination. And we rent bees for about 2 to 3 weeks on our marsh from area beekeepers. Actually, area means the entire United States, because our bees come from Arkansas. And then they remain on the marsh. They create cranberry honey, which is very delicate pink cast into the honey and a little tart flavor compared to a clover honey, and very popular for sale at our Big Warren's Cranberry Festival that we have in this area. And so bees are a very important part of the cranberry growing culture.
About how many bees per acre does it take?
Well, we usually like to have at least 2 hives per acre. And if you can afford it, you can go up to 4 acres. Mm-hmm. So, 4 hives per acre, excuse me.
Sure. So let's talk about pests for a few minutes. I know that you have a couple of pests that are a particular problem for cranberries.
Right. In the spring of the year, there's a worm that will eat the bud of the plant off, and that will turn a brown, and it looks like fire has swept through your bed, and therefore we call it fireworm. Then after the berry is formed in about mid-July to August, You'll have a worm that will burrow into the side of the fruit, eat the inside out, exit the same hole, but the fruit will instantly turn red. And that is called a fruit worm. And if you see red berries as early as mid-July or early August, you have problems with fruit worm. And then there's also the last pest that we have to contend with is sort of like a caterpillar, and it crawls on the base of the bed, and it will gnaw at the stem of your cranberry and cause it to die. And it's called a girdler because it's girdling the stem of the plant and cause it to wilt and die.
Have you had any major issues with any of those here recently?
No, we control them pretty well, but we're connected with the Integrated Pest Management Program through the UW-Madison, and we have scouts that come on our marsh weekly, and they take account of what insects we have and make recommendations as to, chemicals to use for that. And we're very proud to say that through this integrated pest management program, we've reduced the amount of chemicals by 50% over the last 10 years. So that's good for the grower because chemicals are very expensive. It's good to the consumer because they are very health conscious and do not want growers to use any unnecessary amount of chemicals.
Right. So you are a third-generation farmer here on this land, in fact. Tell me a little bit about your family and the history of farming.
Okay. Well, yes, my grandfather was here in 1903, started packing fresh fruit in 1905, and he stayed here until I was about 9 years old. My dad came on the marsh after World War II and became a foreman on the marsh, and then when my grandfather retired, my dad took over. And we actually, as a family, did not own the company until 1972. And at that particular time, I was teaching and had gone to college and got my degree, was teaching high school English, and I'm an only child. So my dad was thinking of retiring, and of course, cranberries, I was born with it, and cranberries were in my blood, as I said. And so I came back to the marsh, quit teaching, and as a young single lady in my early 20s, thought I could conquer the world and do everything. Well, after being on the marsh for about 1 year, I said, oh my goodness, I got to find a husband. And back in the early 70s, they didn't have farmers.com to go to find somebody. And so my dad told me, well, you'll have to go to church or a bar. Well, I went to church first and couldn't find anybody. Well, then I had to resort to going to a bar. But luckily, I had criteria for my husband to be because I was a school teacher, pretty strict. So I said, well, I wanted someone that hopefully had a farm background or at least knew how to grow something from the soil that could run farm machinery and better yet fix it and would have a good work ethic. Mm-hmm. Well, I was very fortunate and I did find a husband. He grew up on a dairy farm, so he had all those qualities. And the best thing about it is I found out he actually really liked cranberries and ate them quite often on his dairy farm. So the clincher to the deal was I told him, well, just think, if you marry me, but you also have to marry the marsh, and I was very serious about that, you will be able to have cranberries three times a day, 365 days a year. And I'm sure that's what clinched the deal right there.
So you won him over.
Yeah. So 43 years later, 4 children later, and 8 grandchildren who we all live close by, and they all help with the operation in some respects at some times during the year.
All right. And you're hoping to pass this legacy on?
Yes. I hope my grandchildren will be the 5th generation on this farm. That's my mission.
All right, good. So anything else that you'd like to tell our California listeners about cranberries or about what you do?
Well, cranberries are a very healthy fruit, as everybody knows. They're good for many things, urinary tract infection and cardiovascular problems and so forth. And they're very fun and delicious to eat in a variety of forms. And if I am to survive, every listener has to help me out by drinking some cranberry juice or eating some dried cranberries or some form of cranberries, and that will help me with my livelihood and my future in my family, but it'll also help you to become a healthier person.
Thank you so much for your time today and for the tour. And again, for our listeners, we have those pictures up on agnetwest.com. Thank you again.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming and visiting me.